This is On the Media. I'm Bob Garfield.
And I'm Brooke Gladstone. In the wake of the murders of police officers in Baton Rouge and Dallas, the Black Lives Matter movement has been on the receiving end of blame. Here's a recent sampling. Donald Trump, in the midst of day one of the RNC, speaking with Bill O'Reilly on Fox.
When you're calling death to police and to kill the police, essentially, which is what they said, that's a real big problem.
And Rush Limbaugh.
They're a terrorist group. They're quickly becoming a terrorist group committing hate crimes.
In fact, earlier this week, the White House rejected a petition signed by more than 141,000 people urging the White House to formally recognize Black Lives Matter as a terrorist group. Patrice Cullors is a co-founder and a leading voice in the Black Lives Matter movement. Patrice, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
So Trump and Limbaugh's indictment is predictable, but what do you make of Milwaukee's Black County Sheriff David Clark, who helped kick off the RNC this way?
I would like to make something very clear. Blue lives matter in America.
He delivered that the day after he said this on CNN after the deaths of the Baton Rouge police officers.
This anti-cop sentiment from this hateful ideology called Black Lives Matter has fueled this rage against the American police officer.
Our movement has never called for the execution of law enforcement, never. Yet many want to place the blame at our feet. There is a historical legacy of undermining Black communities who stand up and fight for our right to really be a part of this American democracy.
So tell me what Black Lives Matter does advocate.
We have a vision where ultimately law enforcement agencies will be the least prioritized for community safety. And in fact, we think community safety really looks like people's ability to have employment, our community's ability to have access to healthy food, shelter. What we've seen in the last two decades is monies being poured into law enforcement agencies, and those agencies have continued to violate the civil and human rights of Black people.
Statements that condemn Black Lives Matter often are followed by, why aren't you focusing more on Black-on-Black crime? Here's Rudy Giuliani on CBS earlier this month.
A Black will die 1% or less at the hands of the police and 99% at the hands of a civilian, most often another Black, which happens every 14 hours in Chicago. And we never hear from Black Lives Matter.
This conversation of Black-on-Black crime is a distraction from the larger conversation around how the state has allowed for our communities to be completely decimated. Let's take here in Los Angeles. 52% of the city budget goes towards law enforcement. Yet our communities in L.A. have the highest unemployment rates, the highest homeless population. We are suffering from mental health issues, from drug addiction, and yet we see resources being pulled and pulled from our communities. And so when critics start to uplift this fallacy of Black-on-Black crime, it's them unwilling to take a hard look at how they've contributed to the devastation in our communities.
You've been explicitly advocating for police reform, including proposals, if I have it right, like defunding the police.
Correct.
Well, that's interpreted by critics as anti-police, and from there they move to the charge that you're pro-violence against police. Obviously, that's a huge and dangerous leap.
Yes.
Is Black Lives Matter, in a sense, anti-police?
We are against the system of policing that has disenfranchised Black lives. If you go into any poor community, you will see a community that is heavily policed. You will see many Black people who are largely unemployed and trying to figure out how they're going to survive and feed their children. And in that poor community, you will see Black people not being able to get to school because their schools are actually funneling them to prisons.
Essentially, there are police in the schools. They get kids for minor infractions. And so it becomes a kind of corridor into the criminal justice system.
Precisely. Our call for defunding law enforcement is a common sense conversation to us. Where is money going locally, statewide, and nationally? It's going towards the law enforcement apparatus, policing, jailing, incarceration, and the in-between.
Anything cutting the budgets the way to begin the process of shifting money in a different direction?
Yes, looking at where we then put more money. What we fail to remember is that the kind of law enforcement and policing and incarceration we see today did not exist 40, 50 years ago. This is policing on steroids. What we are asking for is our communities to have a fighting chance. We don't even have that.
A Washington Post ABC News poll recently found that a majority of Americans think race relations are getting worse. But there are also scholars of the 60s who say that the progress we've made is clear, and that, in fact, the outcry against events like the shootings of unarmed Black men is a sign of that progress. Right, in your view?
Well, Americans are often scared to be honest about social ills. And so when we start to speak honestly about them, as the protests continue, as the highways continue to shut down, instead of seeing these moments as moments to expose the realities of this country, I think people feel fearful. And so I think why scholars are saying, actually, this is an amazing moment is because they're looking back at history, how these types of moments actually change the course of countries and peoples. The fact that 4 years ago, Black people being killed by law enforcement was not an important conversation to have just shows you how far we've come. We are frontline news. It's terrible that it's Black death that's frontline news, but the exposure has allowed for a new vision for what Black life can actually look like. This is our moment to try to get it right so that in 30 years, my child can say, I'm living in a better world because of the work of Black Lives Matter.
One last thing, and I know you've heard this question before. It's about the phrase Black Lives Matter. It's a response to the unspoken understanding that in many instances, Black lives don't matter, at least as much as white lives. And yet it's a phrase that's been consistently and sometimes willfully misconstrued. Do you ever wish you'd come up with Black lives also matter instead?
No.
But I mean, so many people didn't get it.
And that's because we don't have honest conversations about race. I think what happened when President Obama was elected is people really believed that we had overcome. We don't have a strong understanding of institutional racism in this country. And so Black Lives Matter, the strength in that really presents a new set of conversations for the country to grapple with. And we're seeing it. I think that's special. I think this is a special time.
And you'd ruin it if you stuck in also.
At this point, yes.
At this point, absolutely. Patrice, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Patrice Cullors is the co-founder of Black Lives Matter.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.